Let's start first. Big announcement yesterday, and talk a little bit about what that means for E15 and what that means for the ethanol industry moving forward.
Well, yesterday's announcement really began last February when EPA approved health effects testing that the industry had submitted. And then what that did is trigger our producing companies submitting to EPA registrations then to begin to sell E15. They relied upon the health effects testing that had been submitted. EPA had to approve those registrations. They did that yesterday. And frankly, that's pretty much the last thing that EPA has got to do in order to allow E15 into the marketplace. The rest of it is largely on the industry. We now have to go out and do a survey where E15 is going to be sold. We need to convince gasoline marketers to begin offering this fuel, and we need to let consumers know that this is available to them. But for the most part, the regulatory restrictions on the use of E15 have now been lifted.
Regulatory hurdles cleared on your side. What are those steps, and really how do you get E15 into the marketplace and create a demand for it, and can the infrastructure handle it?
Well, the infrastructure can absolutely handle it because we don't believe that you need any new pipes, any new pumps, any new tanks. The existing infrastructure can handle E15. Now, that's part of the state regulatory barriers, and states regulate some of that. And so we're now going state to state. It's sort of like urban warfare. You just clear out a house, you move on to the next house. Well, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana's real close. Pennsylvania, several other states are ready to go themselves today with E15 as we make sure that their state regulations are allowing marketers to offer that product to the consumer. But from the federal side, we're done. So now it's the industry needs to step up. We need to do a survey to determine where E15 is being sold. And then we have to, again, it's almost urban warfare, convince marketers that they need to offer E15 to their consumers. And quite frankly, when ethanol is a dollar cheaper than gasoline today, that's not a difficult sell. We can be further reducing the price of gasoline by adding 50% more ethanol, 50% more of a product that's a dollar less than gasoline. So we do think that E15, once all those regulatory hurdles are beyond us, the marketing should pick up rather quickly.
As you talk about the price of ethanol in comparison, or E15 in comparison, and E85 in comparison to straight gasoline, that really is a big factor in a lot of things. And as we look at $4 gas prices with 10% ethanol in it, how do we really look at the market for ethanol and in the industry continue to succeed?
Well, we had a study done a year ago that looked at the entire decade of the aughts, 2000 to 2010, and not by industry folk, by the University of Wisconsin and the Iowa State University. And those two universities determined that over that decade, the addition of ethanol to gasoline had reduced consumer gasoline prices by about a quarter a gallon. Now, ethanol was growing throughout that period, so its impact was growing. So the same study also looked at just a snapshot of 2010 alone, and it determined that in that year, when gasoline was priced close to $4, not quite as high as it is today, that ethanol was reducing the price of gasoline by some 89 cents a gallon. Now, I know that those universities are looking at that same issue this year and are going to be issuing another study sometime soon, and I would suggest that the results are going to be even more dramatic, because ethanol is a dollar cheaper than gasoline today. But more importantly, that's not the only impact on the price of gasoline, because ethanol is now blended in fully 100% of the nation's fuel. We are reducing by 10% the amount of gasoline that we are having to import. That has an impact on everybody's gasoline price, which is factored into all of this as well. So at the end of the day, ethanol is absolutely having a beneficial impact on consumer pocketbooks. Now, when you're pulling up to your pump and you're still paying $4 and, 20 cents a gallon, it's not that much of a thrill to know that, yeah, you could be $3.80 a gallon. I mean, but certainly we are having a significant impact. And if we don't want our economy to be completely held hostage by oil magnets across the world, then we better seize our own destiny. We better make sure that consumers have real options at the pump, that they can maximize the amount of ethanol, E10, E15, E85, and not have to just use more and more oil.
I'm going to kind of pair up two questions. Governor Daniels today brought up about our independence, becoming more independent on foreign oil and investing back into America's energy through American products. Ethanol is a perfect example of that. How does that coincide and really kind of run the same game as the RFS standard and what is going on there?
Well, the Renewable Fuel Standard, which passed initially in 2005, has been the single most important energy policy this country has ever had. In 2005, our dependence on imported oil was 60%. In 2012, largely as a consequence of that policy, we're only 45% dependent on imported oil. Now, 45% is still way too much, but you know what? We've driven it down in just 7 years, and it's because of ethanol. Now, there are voices in Washington, D.C. today that want to say, oh, it's all because of this fracking. It's all because of increased oil production in North Dakota. No. 81% of the increased domestic fuel production since 2005 in this country has been ethanol. Yes, the last couple of years we're seeing more oil coming from North Dakota. But I can assure you this, we can't frack our way to energy independence. And I think one of the lessons from the Renewable Fuel Standard is that this has worked. It's worked pretty darn effectively. It needs to stay in place.